Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All game over, the Lakers come storming back in game four.
You just try to win one game. That's what we did a few years ago against OKC.
Let's shake the rug.
Gloria Stewart by becoming only the 10th team to win while trailing 3-1.
I've been on the wrong side of 3-1 before.
Back to Iguodala, up for the layup.
Get out of this hole. We all have to play better.
Somebody has to win four times. That's why you play it out.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
Baby, this is where series get spicy. The Warriors, they are on the brink, but they are not alone. The MVP shocked the Celtics in Boston to take a 3-2 lead, headed back to Philadelphia. And then in the West, Nikola Jokic, he was dominant again. The Suns also facing elimination, but we're starting with a huge Game 5 in the Bay Area tonight. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank. We have Kendrick Perkins in the building. Ramona Shelburne is here with us. Yeah. The one and only Richard Jefferson.
It's a big Wednesday.
It's a big Wednesday when you are here. Let's talk about this. Let's dive into this game because it's enormous. We can't really overstate this. We were so hyped for this series and it could all come to an end tonight. But Richard, you've been on the flip side of this. Mm-hmm. You've been on a team that was down 3-1. Why is it so important that the starters don't rest, that the Lakers close this out tonight?
Oh my God, I love us when we have these conversations. It's important because, again, the way the Lakers are playing, they do have a chance. Like, they 100%. You don't want to go into anything being like, we have multiple opportunities to win one game. That is the complete opposite of the mindset that you want. Because even if you lose a game, let's say the Warriors win, it's a close one, you could still leave a game with confidence. You can leave a game feeling that you learned something, that you gained something, and prepare yourself for the next game. But don't ever go in there with thinking that we have bullets to waste. That is the absolute worst idea.
I agree. And when you think about the Lakers, they're two stars. LeBron James, 38 years old, year 20. AD is 30, right? But he has a body of a 50-year-old. And so you actually need rest. So if I'm looking at this series with Denver and the Suns, I'm hoping that it goes seven. The more days rest I get, the better for my two superstars. If I'm the Lakers, I'm approaching this as a must-win situation. Every day matters, in my opinion, when it comes down to AD and Braun and as much rest as they can get as possible.
Right, because when you look at Golden State, even they went to seven games last series. You look at them now a couple of times. It's like, okay, is this catching up? Oh, is there any fatigue that's weighing in here?
Well, yeah, even when we were fortunate to beat them in 16, they had a much harder route to get there.
Right.
They were down 3-1, had to go 2-7 to beat OKC. That takes it out of you. So as the series progressed in 2016, it was they came out swinging. But as the series progressed, they started to wear down. Andre Iguodala got hurt. Andrew Bogut got hurt. People were banged up. So it's really just about, like, get it done as quickly as possible. If it takes, you know, six, fine. If it takes, but get it done as quickly as possible.
Well, and that's what LeBron was saying. You can never be comfortable against this Golden State Warriors team. And one thing that I think back to is the famous speech that LeBron gave your team when he said, oh, they've lost it. Oh, this is when we can see a sliver of daylight. We can take advantage of this here. But the good news for the Lakers, right, take a look at this. LeBron James, he's 31-0 in playoff series when he has a two-game lead. Ooh. Guess who the only player is with a better record? Oh, yeah. it's Kareem.
Look at Magic.
He passed him in something this year, didn't he?
A lot of Lakers greatness on that.
Ramona, we're both across the street, though, for this game four. And at least to me, it didn't quite seem like the Warriors were done.
No, like I waited in that locker room a long time because I wanted to hear from Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steph Curry. And those three lockers are right together, and they took a long time coming out. And Klay Thompson basically went back in the back of the locker room and watched to the end of the game. He went and watched all those plays down the end and came out, said, you know what? I probably rushed a few of those shots. I wish I had some of those back. He owned it publicly. And then he came over to Draymond Green and said, you know, I didn't like that foul that they called on you, like the moving screen. Like, that was not a defeated locker room. That was, we beat ourselves. They had a chance to win. They beat themselves with some shots that they shouldn't have taken. Klay was trying to do something big. It didn't work out. But if you listen to Draymond Green's podcast, which he comes out, it's like every day he comes out with a podcast.
Yeah.
He said, we lost this one. We played really well until the last 2 minutes, and then they made some very poor decisions.
Right.
So I've been in bad locker rooms where you look at the other team and you go, oh, man, I don't know how we're going to beat them. They're too good. That Warriors locker room felt like they beat themselves, and they're going home for game five.
Well, they was lying. They was lying, and the truth wasn't nowhere near them. Because if they really wanted to mash the gas when they went up by double figures, they should have took advantage of that in the third quarter. Instead, the Lakers walked that down. Now, Momo, I would be optimistic about what you're saying if it was coming from any other person besides Klay and Draymond. Because I'm worried, right, about Jordan Poole, his relationship with Steve Kerr. I'm also worried about, is you going to use Jonathan Kuminga in this series?
No.
Probably not.
Like
No, and they should. But, okay, cool, but Steve Kerr don't trust him. But one thing we do know is that Jordan Poole was huge for them last season. Matter of fact, they don't win a championship without his play. So you got to find a way. Is he bought in? Like, we really don't know. And although Steph, Klay, and Draymond are bought in and ready and probably ready for tonight, are the others ready for tonight?
Well, that matters.
Yeah.
It matters because everything about these Warriors, you can't go deep into series. You can't go seven games. You can't go six games, seven games in a series and not have a bench. It has to be all Steph Curry. Like, in those finals that you guys won, Rich, like, it felt like LeBron had to do superhuman things. Mm-hmm. In this series, it felt like Steph's had to do superhuman things. Mm-hmm. And all the talk going into the series is this the last dance? It might be. Like, it might be the last. If this team, how things end matters. Like, how, if they lose tonight and if they go out in a bad way, that matters. Now, I've been around this team a lot. I don't think it's the last dance. Just, I think they have a hopefulness about them that they can keep Draymond Green in the fold long term, that Klay Thompson's there at least next year, that this isn't the last dance, that maybe it's next year or the year after that. But the way they lose, if they lose, matters to the way you think about this team going forward.
Well, and it might be, you can see some key contracts here. Ooh. A little bit naive, right, as our Bobby Marks has spelled out, to think that Draymond Green, his days with the Warriors are done, because, yeah, he can decline his player option, but the long-term places that have the cap space to actually sign him, we're talking about Detroit, Indiana, Houston, Oklahoma City, Orlando, San Antonio, those types of teams. That's a conversation for another day, but at the very least, right, their season is on the line. So, Richard, let's head to the court here. How can the Warriors extend this series? What's the key to game six?
Kevon Looney only getting paid $7.5 million?
Yeah, you should make a comeback. Steal. Come here, I'm going to show you guys. Come here really quickly. We've seen.
You need
Steve?
Me?
Yeah, I need you. Okay. I need you.
All right, cool.
I need
you. Just wanted you to say that.
I didn't want to say it. Where my basketball at? Now, look. Now, watch this. This is what Steph Curry is having to do. He's having to dribble up, initiate the offense. Why is he having to do that? Because he's got to get Anthony Davis out of the paint. People have talked about what Anthony Davis has done in the paint, the defense, everything. It becomes so difficult for Steph. Steph has to work so much harder. Now, look, we got the court. We got our guys. Now, look, big perk going to be Anthony Davis, right? So you're going to be there for us. Come here. This is the problem. You're going to come up and set a screen. Now, when you come up, this is Steph. Steph's got to bring it all the way out. Steph's got to bring it all the way out. This is big, ugly Anthony Davis, right? Big, ugly. Just an ugly, big defender, long arms, just disgusting looking. You want to get him away from the rim because he dominates the rim.
Yeah.
And so, look, now watch this. On the roll. This is what Steph is having to do. So Steph is having to get off of the ball. And so now, look. Swing it. He's got layup or he's got jump shot and a second drive if they wanted it. The only problem is this Steph is having to initiate the offense. He had 14 assists with Jordan Poole making nothing, with Klay Thompson making nothing. No contributions there. So Steph has to not only score 30 or 50 like he did in game seven, but he's also having to initiate it. He was outstanding, triple-double in last game. But you don't want Steph doing this. Let me see that ball. You don't want Steph doing this. You want Steph catching the ball and shooting. But the only way for the Warriors to get Anthony Davis out of the paint is to make Steph, because you can't be in a drop coverage on Steph. That's see you next year if you do that. So they got to get him away from the paint, but that causes so much more for Steph. When you look at his dribble numbers, when you look at his pick and roll numbers, when you look at all of the usage, I want you guys to look at this. 48 on-ball screens as a ball handler. That's the most in a playoff game since 2017. He brought the ball up 55 times. That's, you know how many playoff games these guys have played? That's the most under Steve Kerr. 579 dribbles. That is how hard Steph is having to work right now. And the Warriors are doing a great job with it. I just don't know if that's going to be sustained over the next three games. It wouldn't be that bad if Jordan Poole was hitting shots, if Klay Thompson was hitting shots. But if Steph is on that ball, you got to have shot makers off of it, or else he's got to work to create for everyone else, and he's got to work to create for himself. That's just not a good. That's not a good example.
We'll clip off this, send it to Steve Kerr, and see if the Warriors can get it done.
I texted him. I texted
him. Game five, still to come on NBA Day. I honestly do not blame him. The last two MVPs, they were balling last night. Both only one win away from the conference finals. Could Embiid and Jokic meet in the finals? How wild would that
be? I'd be down for that.
Plus, the Warriors, they aren't the only ones fighting for their playoff lives tonight. Can the Knicks extend the series, or are the Heat going to advance, Big Perk?
Plus, it's that time. Get your phones out. Richard, you got your Pixel? Get it out.
Yeah, I got my Pixel. It's ready.
Take a photo. Let us know, who do you think has a better chance to overcome a 3-1 deficit? Can the Warriors or the Knicks win three in a row? NBA Today will be back after this. We will reveal the results later on the show.
Will we?
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank. Rooted in communities big and small.
Let's check in on the Suns and the Denver Nuggets. I mean, this is stay petty so you don't have to get petty and squash it all. Handing the ball to Suns owner Matt Ishbia. But let's pick this one up late in the second quarter. I mean, get to a big man that can do that, Big Perk.
I mean, stroking it from deep and just doing everything. Look at those dimes.
Wow. Okay, let me take it from here. This is what I'm going to say. Jokic, you okay, Perk? You okay, big guy? Wait, Nuggets fans, we're trying to show highlights. Perk got to get it together.
Michael Porter Jr. lobs it back up, gets it back. Nikola Jokic doing it all for this Denver team, putting this team on his back. And then the next possession here, Aaron Gordon comes away with the rebound, keeping an eye on DeAndre
Ayton. Running the floor.
Still gets it to go.
That's what the big fella do. I didn't know he had them type of wheels.
No, well, this is what I'm saying. Look, we was having a conversation off camera, not me and Perk, but somebody I respect. And we were saying, I think Jokic is a top seven center of all time right now. When you watch how he dismantles teams on offensive ends, the way he creates, there is no answer to him on the offensive end. Zero answer to Jokic on the offensive end. It is impressive. But look, when you get support like that off your bench, it doesn't matter if it's Landry Shamet one game, Rui Hachimura one game, it doesn't matter if it's Bruce Brown one game. You need high-level support off your bench. The Denver Nuggets got it at home.
That's an exclamation mark there. Jokic finished with 29 points, 13 rebounds, 12 assists. The Nuggets get the win, 118-102. Take a listen to Michael Malone after the game.
Nikola with 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. Yeah, just basketball game, with the most triple-doubles in playoff history for a center. Cole's not even clapping. We got one more game to win. We're not even close to being done. So bring it in, fellas. Come on.
Nikola Jokic, I mean, he's the second player in NBA history with 300 points, 100 rebounds, 75 assists through his first 10 games of a postseason joining Oscar Robertson, right? Oscar, and he's the first player in postseason history to average 30 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists through his first 10 games of a postseason. So, I mean, are the Nuggets the most complete team left?
Yes. Yeah.
No, they're not. They have a few complete teams. Like,
she asked who the most complete team is.
I just can't agree with that. I believe the Lakers have a complete team. I believe that the Celtics and Philly both have complete teams. I mean, what is your definition of a complete team?
I think a team that has – look, again, we're splitting hairs here. I understand.
You're not splitting hairs ever.
Are you okay? Can we
go ahead, Rich.
Like I was saying before the round mound over here started interrupting me, what I'm trying to express is this. The Denver Nuggets are playing the best basketball that they should be playing right now against a very good Phoenix team that's got two high-tier stars. The issue right now with the rest of the team, they're not playing great. Boston's not playing great. The Lakers are playing well. But when you look at depth, when you look at multiple shooting, they got lots of shooting. That's what the Denver Nuggets have been beating the Phoenix Suns with. They have depth off their bench. They have multiple players at multiple positions. I understand we're talking about the teams in the postseason, so everyone's very complete. But when I look at the team that was the number one seed from December on and the way they have played in the postseason, to me, that is the most complete team that is playing the best basketball. And look, Caesars agrees with me.
Well, on the other side of things, though, we have the Suns on the brink of elimination. Do they have enough, Richard, to get it done?
Do the Suns?
Yeah.
I think they have enough to get one more game. I don't know if they have enough to get this series done. But just because when you look at on the road, and we talked about role players play better at home. Well, no one really showed up. Terrence Ross had a couple of plays there late in the fourth where he hit a couple of threes, but they weren't getting any production. They weren't getting the same production they got in game three and four from Warren and Shamp. They weren't getting that production. And if the Suns win in game six, game seven, I would look for that trend to continue and say that in that elevation, when you've got to play 45-plus minutes, that's hard on Devin Booker. That's hard on Kevin Durant because you don't get a break, you don't have help, and you're playing at elevation.
Well, I believe Kevin Durant has to play better and help Devin Booker out, but is that Kool-Aid y'all drinking in y'all? Because, you know, I spy everything, and I've been spying Kool-Aid. Somebody heart-pumping Kool-Aid, okay?
Who's
yeah,
heart-pumping?
Yeah, I spy fear. Ooh. Here you go. New segment coming in play. I spy. I'm Kendrick Perkins, better known as Big Perk, and nothing gets past me.
Freeze!
Just when you thought it did get past me, there I am. I spy a problem. I spy it all. Carry the hell on.
Perk's good.
Yeah, Perk the Perk.
I'm just saying, when I'm sitting down and I'm watching these games, I'm watching everything, I'm watching details, and I spy a problem. I spy fear. I see a guy heart that's pumping Kool-Aid and DeAndre Ayton. And the one thing is that the film don't lie. Let's run it.
Why are you yelling at the screen?
I got to. Here we go right here. We know that this pin down is happening. Look at the effort. No physicality. But watch the coaches over there mad. You see that? They mad because they didn't win over it. Here it is. Athletic DeAndre Ayton, Jokic that can't do a calf raise. How does he beat you down the floor? That is effort, okay? Here's the field part of it. You're guarding the best player on the floor. KD has Aaron Gordon. Why are you coming with a semi-help to leave Jokic, who just torched you for 50, to give up the and one? Check out KD body language. He's disgusted. I spy. I see it. I see everything. Nothing gets past me when it comes down to the postseason.
I like what I spy.
I like the segment purely for the open. The open alone. You hiding behind them little bushes like nobody can
see
you.
Shout out to producer Jared. You know, can I try this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you know, let me see if I got this.
Wear those damn loafers.
What's wrong with my loafers?
I spy some loafers.
What's wrong with my loafers?
You know what else? Oh, Perk, you see it? I spy Embiid. I spy Embiid and the 76ers. They are one win away from knocking off the Celtics and advancing to the conference finals for the first time since 2001. Tim Legler breaks down how they shocked the world last night. How'd I do with my I spy?
You did great.
Oh, thank you. Plus, we head to the Big Apple to check in on the Knicks, hear what they had to say ahead of their elimination game tonight against the red hot Heat. And the Warriors, they are back in the Bay for game 5. Our panel, they make their picks on whether Steph can extend this series.
Man, we got a great show.
Did you vote yet, Perk?
No, I'm about to vote right now.
Which team that is trailing 3-1 is more likely to win their series? Is it the Warriors? Is it the Knicks? I see Kendrick Perkins voting, but I want to know what the folks at home are saying.
Can you vote multiple times?
On multiple devices?
I got lots of devices.
We'll be right back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
It's game 5 in a series tied at 2. Around the screen, 3, Maxi buries it.
This is exactly the start that Philadelphia wanted.
Siakam puts it down. He is lighting it up. Every time the Celtics have had a bit of a spurt, Philadelphia's answered. Joel Embiid, 32 for the MVP. And the 76ers get a win for the second time in the series on the road.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank. Okay. I kind of forgot that I'm wearing. I can't. Sunglasses inside is just not. That's not it. Let's grab some clam chowder and head to Boston because Joel Embiid, he was doing MVP things for the 76ers last night, Perk.
On both ends of the floor. That was the impressive part about it. But come here, Al Horford. Nice look. I ain't going to even say it. Nice rhythm right there. Here we go. Big boy inside. I don't understand why Joe Mazzulla is not playing his two big lineup. Like, you have to going against this monster.
Well, then, in the fourth quarter, the Sixers up 14 at this point. Embiid, he's left wide open, hits the three. And, I mean, he's like, yeah, this is me. This is my house.
Is anyone going to guard me?
But can we credit James Harden? I thought he did a great job of actually playing the point guard position. Get that out of here.
You know, that actually.
Those backstops are under.
I was a little scared when he went down there.
Those backstops are under.
I was like.
Bro.
That reminded me of something.
Richard
Jefferson.
Glory
days. 2004? Here it goes.
I see you timing it on.
Here it goes.
Maybe that left hand had to duck, too.
Look at the emotion.
We hyped.
You still got the hand same
yeah.
That's what he does after shows, too.
Let me duck.
When he has a really great breakdown, that's when you walk out of here.
I get hyped, man.
One more look at this.
I love a good chase down block. Very few of us could do it.
Monster block from Joel Embiid. Boston loses to Philadelphia 115-103.
I don't care. I honestly don't care. We still got to, you know, got to get one more win. And then obviously you're going home, so you're going to have a lot of, you know, energy, the crowd. And I would imagine everybody plays better at home too. So I do play better at home.
That was the first game of the playoffs that we didn't play well, in my opinion. And so we can't lose our perspective of we played really good basketball. And that was our first really, really bad game of the playoffs. And so it doesn't come at necessarily the best time, but we just have to shift our perspective and get ready for the next game.
We've got booed before, so it's not anything new. We didn't play well today. You know, fans could see it. You guys saw it, and you know that.
So you heard what Joel Embiid said. We still have to get one more game. And this has been a tough spot for Doc Rivers in his coaching career. 17-31 with an opportunity to clinch a playoff series, the most losses by any coach all time. But let's see if this year can be the year that they flip the script. But Ramona, you were in touch with the Celtics. Yeah. What's sort of the mood around Boston, that locker room right now?
You know, Jason Tatum basically said to me, he goes, this is the first time all playoffs that we just didn't have it. And they've been here before, though. Like, last year, do you remember? Okay, I know.
Yeah,
I
no, remember. not you, Ramona.
But they have been here before. Do you remember last year against Milwaukee?
Yeah, I also remember.
Do you remember against Miami?
I remember the first round against Atlanta. I felt like they laid.
But what did they do last year?
Yeah, they came back to
win. Go in against 6-7.
Yeah, against a short-handed
Bucks team. And then go win 6-7 against Miami.
I'm not disputing any of that. I'm not saying the Boston Celtics are out.
So here's a perk. I understand what you're saying. The two big lineup is something they did last year, and it worked really well, and especially against a guy like this. They sort of traded offense for defense. Right, they've gone with a better offensive lineup, and they shoot a lot of threes, and they're just going to keep doing it. But at this point, when Joel Embiid is doing whatever he wants out there, you have to think about maybe a zone, maybe the two big lineup, some kind of defensive adjustment, so that they're just not getting whatever they want.
No, I'm going to add to first point, because this is the thing. If you play the two big lineups, the first thing is like, okay, well, who are they going to guard? P.J. Tucker has shot two shots in the last, like, 8 years. So you could have one on P.J., you can have one on Joel, and if there's a switch needed, then you can have, you know what I'm saying? So it's like the Philly is playing guys that would allow them to go to that lineup. And all I'm going to say is that Philly has gone with more of a defensive lineup from the standpoint if you're playing P.J. Tucker that many minutes, you're obviously going to get a limited amount of offensive production. Then P.J. has to now box out, you know, a guy like Robert Williams. He's got to do so. That is a very difficult task. And so I just think giving that double big lineup would be a good idea.
You know what's crazy is that they're substituting offense for defense, but last year defense is the reason that they got to the finals. Like, what are we talking about now? When we talk about depth at the wing position and defending Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Malcolm Brogdon, Grant Williams, like when we talk about complete team, especially on the defensive side of things, I don't understand the logic behind that. Like, the Celtics have become a live-by-the-three, die-by-the-three team, and I really don't understand that. When you have two athletic wings in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that could get downhill at will, if you have Robert Williams in, even on the offensive end, and you're running high pick and roll, he is so much of a lob threat at the basket, it's going to open up threes for everybody else anyway, because you have to get sucked in for us with the defense, because guys got to pay attention. Otherwise, it's going to be a layup for the guy that's in the pick and roll, or it's going to be a lob for Rob Williams, or threes getting sprayed out to the corner.
We saw a sample size of that, the live by the three, die by the three in the regular season in December. That's when they really started struggling.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Tatum is getting into the lane every single time. He's able to get in there, but Joel Embiid comes to help, and then the right play is to kick it out for three. That's predictable at this point now. I mean, that's the way the offense is set up, is to just drive and kick, drive and kick. Jason can score that ball.
I know he can, but who is Joel Embiid guarding at the moment? He's guarding Al Horford.
Right.
If you're going to rely on a 37, 38-year-old Al Horford to take you home and do what he did, I believe, and what was it? Game one
of the finals. Yeah,
no, but I'm saying this series, he has had some great shooting moments. That's unfair to him. And then all of a sudden, you're taken away from Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You're taken away from
How confident are you feeling right now in the Celtics, Burke?
I'm not.
Well, here's the thing. There's implications.
I'm not.
So far beyond just this series that the Celtics have to grapple with, I do want to bring Bobby Marks into this conversation, because all NBA teams, right, they are about to be released, and there's some heavy implications for the Celtics and Jaylen Brown, right? Can you walk us through how these results can impact the future for Boston and for Brown?
Yeah, how does 5 years, $295 million sound, Malika? Whoa. For Jaylen Brown? If he earns All-NBA Thursday night, he would be eligible to sign the largest contract in NBA history this offseason here for Brown. And it goes to next offseason, too. How about his teammate, Jason Tatum? Whoa. If Jason Tatum earns All-NBA this offseason, 5 years, $318 million. So you're looking at two players potentially earning more than $600 million in near future. And a couple ground rules real quick, Malika. There's been 11 players who have earned Supermax criteria. Mm-hmm. All 11 have signed the Supermax. If you are traded, the Supermax does not carry with you to your new team. That becomes voided here. So you are looking at some big decisions for this Boston team this offseason.
Bobby, real quick, because I do, Perk's making all sorts of faces, and I do want to get his reaction to this. But is this a situation, if you have that kind of money tied up with these two guys, what options does that leave Boston in terms of filling out their team? Because we've seen, right, these top-heavy teams where it hasn't really panned out.
Well, the options are you're forced to retain your own player. So when you're looking at a player like Derek White, who's extension eligible, Marcus Smart still has a few more years left on his contract. Al Horford has a few more years. Robert Williams, you still have your draft pick starting in 2024. What you can't do is you can't go out and sign a player to your tax mid-level exception. It makes it harder to add outside of your own players here. So if Boston's comfortable who this roster is, then yes, you can commit $600 million to these two players.
Bobby, I have a question, right? So if Jaylen Brown makes an all-NBA team, is he an unrestricted free agent this offseason? Restricted free agent? How'd that work for us, him being able to go out and sign with another team?
Yeah, so if Brown goes out and if he earns All-NBA and he doesn't sign the extension, which would be unlikely, he would be an unrestricted free agent. If he doesn't earn it, let's play devil's advocate there, then he can go out and sign a four-year deal with another team. Basically, it's 5 years, $255 million with Boston next offseason compared to 4 years, $210 million with another team here. So, yes, without an extension, Brown is an unrestricted free agent next offseason.
So you're talking about many, many tens of millions difference that is on the line here. So again, all NBA teams come out tonight. Bobby, who's another player that fans maybe should be keeping tabs on with this announcement?
Yeah, Ja Morant in Memphis signed a five-year, $194 million rookie max extension last offseason. If Morant earns All-NBA first, second, or third team, 5 years, $233 million. You're looking at a $39 million swing in favor, or maybe not, for Ja Morant.
Very interesting, and Ja Morant is one that is on the cusp. It is so hard to get in, particularly as a guard on an All-NBA team, especially this season.
I don't know. I think he should be All-NBA.
I think Jaylen Brown gets it. I don't know about Ja Morant.
Does he get in as a forward, though? This is a conversation.
I know, I do.
These are the conversations.
I think Jaylen's going to get it.
All of us are having. Bobby Marks, thank you so much for stopping by, for making us smarter, for explaining all of this to us. Again, All-NBA announcements, they are coming out tonight in a matter of hours. Still to come, though, on NBA Today. Have you voted yet? Who is more likely to come back trailing 3-1? Is it the Warriors? Is it the Knicks? Stephen A. already voted for the Knicks. Have you voted? We will reveal the results at the end of the show. And speaking of the Knicks, coming up on our show, Jalen Brunson, he spoke today about New York's confidence heading into tonight's elimination game in the Garden. That's coming up next. You're going to want to hear from him. We'll be right back.
The true leader right there.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The determination and the discipline you build around it. As you try to break through, exceed expectations, and push forward.
We are a people of hope.
You change the future, you change the past.
The process leads us to this point. The playoffs.
Let's get nuts.
Where every possession and choice matters. Because the moment goes by in a flash.
The Heat and the Knicks, they are back in New York for Game 5 tonight. Miami looks to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals for the third time in the last 4 years. So take a listen to Jalen Brunson on the Knicks' confidence level as they face elimination.
It's definitely a hole that we need to dig ourselves out of. But we can't really focus on games, 6 or 7. We got to focus on the first quarter of Game 5 and then move on from there and continue to get better and continue to stick together. And that's all we got right now. All we gotta do is keep our confidence, stick together, and just keep moving forward. And that's all we really have right now. That's all we have to focus on. And we have a great group of guys who can do that.
So for more on New York's approach as they face elimination tonight, bringing in our Knicks reporter, Nick Friedel. So, Nick, we just heard Jalen Brunson. He talked about maintaining their confidence. But let's talk about reality. What actually is what this team is thinking, talking about as they head into this game tonight?
Malika, Jalen Brunson just took a page straight out of Tibbs' playbook. And he is the ultimate player that Tibbs loves, and he loves that mindset. But I'm here to tell you that the reality is, in that locker room, the confidence has eroded over the last week because Miami is beating the Knicks at their own game. When you hear Julius Randle say the other night, maybe they just want it a little more, bit more than we do.
Right.
That is a huge red flag. This Knicks team, Malika, a Tibbs team, gave up 7 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter alone. They're not making the hustle plays. The Knicks are tough. The Heat are a little bit tougher. The Knicks are physical. The Heat are a little bit more physical. The Knicks believe that they can still turn this around maybe tonight. But that confidence that was there, the swagger that this team had after they beat the Cavs and Donovan Mitchell in 5 games, that is gone right now because Miami has knocked it out of them.
I want to bring Perk and Richard into this conversation because, Richard, the other day you were sort of saying, well, maybe what Julius Randle was doing was sort of rallying his team, challenging his team, saying, well, maybe they want it more, as in we need to want it a little bit more. What can the Knicks do tonight to save their season here?
Well, again, the reason why I was more talking about the context, sometimes you see that quote in that statement and that's what gets cut, so you don't understand the context around it. I think sometimes when you're looking at players, it's not defeat. That's me, and I'm not disagreeing with what Nick is saying. What I'm saying is that players sometimes have to have that moment of, like, how bad do I really want
it?
How bad do we all really want it? Everyone has that. It doesn't matter if you're down 3-0, if you're up 3-0. How bad do we want to close out a team? How bad do we want to extend our season? You're constantly having that internal dialogue. So when I'm looking at the Knicks, look, no quickly. That hurts, right? You have Brunson, who's probably not 100%. You have Randle, who's probably not 100% with those ankles because it takes weeks to recover from those things. There's no excuses. Miami Heat are dealing with things also. My only thing with the Knicks is that you bullied the Cavs, and you can't bully the Heat. So what I'm saying is, like, what else do you have in your game other than bully ball? You got to show me some basketball IQ. You got to show me some grit. You got to show me some perseverance, and it starts in the Garden. I still personally think the Knicks win. I think they win this, and then it goes to Game 6, and then we see.
I'm with you, and I believe that Julius Randle, it's unfair to blame this all on him, and a lot of people been blaming it on him, not us, but – like, it's on Tom Thibodeau to put him in position to be successful as well. And I just feel like this too big lineup with him and Mitchell Robinson on the floor is not helping the Knicks because they have no space to operate. And that's why the Heat are able to load up. That's why you see Kevin Love and Kyle Lowry taking charges. And my thing is, move Julius Randle to the 5, make him set screens, make him roll to the basket, make him create mismatches where you have a smaller person and punch it into him and make him go to work down low. That's how you put him in position, not him trying to attack from the perimeter. perimeter and drive into the lane all out of control. That's not going to happen.
Nick, you know Tom Thibodeau incredibly well. You've been covering him and his teams for many, many years. What do you expect from this Knicks team tonight?
They're going to lay it all out there. Malika, I'm with Perk and RJ in that Jalen Brunson's not going to roll over. Julius Randle is an extremely proud guy. The difference to me watching the way this series has unfolded is that the Knicks have lost the mental edge. Not only are they getting beat on these hustle plays, but they're getting beat in the end in a lot of these games by Jimmy Butler or the space that Jimmy creates for the rest of his teammates. The Knicks don't have a Jimmy. He has taken this team and made the Heat believe they're going to win every time they're out there. The Knicks don't have an answer to that.
Well, I keep thinking back to a conversation I had with Tom Thibodeau a couple of days ago when I was down in South Beach ahead of their game three. And he said, you know the thing with Jalen Brunson? No moment, no stage is too big for that man. And that's going to be tested
tonight
as they face elimination. That's right, Perk. Nick, enjoy the game. We will see you back here soon on NBA Today, though we continue our show by asking the question that we have been asking since 47 minutes ago. Who is more likely to come back from a 3-1 deficit, the Warriors or the Knicks? You let us know. Still coming up, though, the MVP. I mean, he showed exactly why he deserved the award. Tim Legler, he breaks down how Embiid and Harden got it done last night. It's fantastic tape that you're going to want to see. We'll be right back.
Leg's been working extra.
I know. Awesome.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
The NBA playoffs continue on ESPN and the app tomorrow night. Two game sixes. We have the Celtics, the Sixers, and then the Suns and the Nuggets. The Countdown crew tips off our coverage at 7 Eastern. Here's Tim Legler on how Embiid in Philly is one win away from their first conference finals trip since 2001.
Before I was in the league.
Well, Malika, look, the two-man game is everything for Philly right now, and Joel Embiid has been dominant in it. Let's talk about how they get into it and some of the things Boston is doing defensively that's helping Philadelphia have so much success, because that's really what this is about for the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, James Harden, two-man game. Here's a good example first. Embiid, you're going to see circle back as soon as he crosses half court. Now, keep in mind, none of this is really possible if James Harden has not established himself as a dominant scoring threat in this series, because as he comes off, you now have no choice if you're Boston. You've got to react to that with the guy guarding Embiid. This is Al Horford. He's got to sink back in here. And by doing that, you're going to see the space that is cleared in the middle of the floor. In addition, keep an eye on these two weak side defenders and understand why they don't come and offer more help in this situation. So here's Harden. He gets downhill, occupying two defenders here. Embiid is now going to slip into this space on the floor. And then look at the weak side. You would think, well, why don't they just make P.J. Tucker the guy in the corner here to just have wide open shots all night? And now you can maybe get a stunt over from Jaylen Brown, leaving Jason Tatum, you know, to play both guys with a primary focus here on the true shooter, and leave Tucker if you have to. Well, the reason is because of a wrinkle the Sixers have put in, which is allowing P.J. Tucker to run the baseline. He's not just standing in the corner anymore, and that's going to force now Tatum to have to worry about that, which means Jaylen Brown has to stay home. And look what I just did. I created all of this space in the middle of the floor for Joel Embiid. He operates it, goes up in a comfort zone, knocks it down. Another example, again, starts with the ball screen and James Harden coming off, and he's going to come hard here and get downhill. And the guy he's trying to engage is right here. You want a reaction? Dropping to the paint out of the defender on Joel Embiid, Robert Williams. That's exactly what he gets. Harden occupies. This ball is going to come back now to Joel Embiid after Harden has done his job occupying three people. Watch Embiid catch it here, but close the space down with his last step to make this a more makeable shot. And then the last part, up, down, jab, up, down, hands drop, go up, knock the shot down. The patience of Joel Embiid and the versatility in his game is what's different. Why he's not just a dominant player, he's an MVP, and he showed up in an MVP kind of way to get the Sixers one game from advancing.
So good. Legs, thank you. So if the Sixers close out the Celtics, they would face the winner of Heat-Knicks. So who's more likely to come back from a 3-1 hole? Is it the Warriors? Is it the Knicks? It's your last chance. Get your phone out. Let us know. We're going to reveal the results when we return in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank. Rooted in communities big and small.
So we're about 3.5 hours away from some more playoff basketball. We asked you at home to vote who is more likely to come back from a 3-1 deficit, the Knicks or the Warriors? Well, the results are in. 75% say Golden State is more likely.
I told you. I told you the fans weren't stupid. Perk's been up here talking about how stupid all the fans are at home. I actually agree with them. I think there's a better chance
said
that
the Knicks. You just said the Knicks still got a chance.
I said they got a chance. They have to win a game.
25% of folks say that they have a chance to come back. 75% say the Warriors do. Yeah. But let's take a look at how likely this actually is to happen. 13 teams have blown a 3-1 lead all time. So here's some examples of this.
My guy, P.J. Brown.
Yeah,
my
Bluetooth,
bro.
They had a 3-1 lead against the Heat. That was in the 97 conference semis. The Heat, they came back to win the last three games with two of those by double digits. And then in 2016, of course, the Western Conference Finals, the Warriors, the Thunder, OKC went up 3-1, winning two of those games by 20 points. But then Curry and Thompson,
they never traded me.
The Warriors back into this series.
They knew what they was doing.
Yeah, they exactly.
And then Golden State got a taste of their own medicine, Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, they got a taste of LeBron. That was it. Everybody else was just filling in. Well, Kyrie was killing. LeBron, we follow those two big guys.
You played some great meaningful minutes throughout the course of that.
I appreciate that coming from a role player like you that can respect someone doing their role well at 38 years old.
How did that flip? Like, I'm giving you
Seen this, though?
What? Seen what?
It's a long shot to come back from a 3-1 deficit. There was a video that was posted before the Warriors-Lakers series even started of this dog predicting who was going to win. So the Lakers take game one, Warriors take game two, Lakers take game three.
This is how Perk makes his picks.
Lakers take game four. So then, wait a second, though. He's predicted up until this point correctly, and now he's saying the Warriors are going to come back and win. What is that?
Nah, this is a setup. If it's not consecutive videos, then I'm saying it's doctored.
Well, this is coming from the TikTok king himself.
Right. Yes, you're right. That's pretty accurate. So, now I get no problem. What we got?
Oh, there you go.
I've never seen you looking better, Perk.
I'm just saying. Look at my babies.
Are these your profile? Those are some beautiful.
No, that's not my profile picture. But
are these all yours?
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
Do you have a personal?
What in genetic testing are you?
What in genetic
testing? Perk, final thoughts on the Warriors and Lakers tonight.
I got the Warriors winning tonight. I think they push it to game six and then they going home.
I think the Warriors win tonight unless.
But I'm not saying that with confidence.
No, I think the Warriors win tonight.
Okay, we have two votes. I'm going to say that the Warriors are going to force it back to Los Angeles, and then we will see what happens.
Us
at
and
that
Black
point.
Barbie will be back tomorrow.
Hey, on Wednesdays we were pink. Mean Girls told us this in 2004. Yes. We'll see you tomorrow.
We were 9. What are you, 7? 3-0-4?